How do I overcome sorrow after experiencing an unimaginable tragedy?
Should the business I own also be returning tithe to God?
I'm thankful that when we have questions, the Bible has answers. I'm Ruben Covarrubias.
And I'm Inkosi Plummer. Bible Help Desk starts now. Welcome to Bible Help Desk. You know, Ruben, I'm so glad that whenever life seems overbearing and confusing, that we can look to God for clarity and peace.
You are so right, Inkosi, and I'm so glad that we have a program like Bible Help Desk that we can open God's Word and see more of that clarity for the questions that we have. And for you, the viewer, if you need help finding out what God's Word has to say about a Bible passage or an issue you're facing in life right now, Bible Help Desk is here for you. You can go ahead and text us your questions at 833-BIBLE-HD, or give us a call or message us on social media on our Facebook or Instagram pages. You can also go to our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. And if possible, leave us an email so we can contact you right back. So Inkosi, who is joining us today to answer these questions?
Yes, Ruben. So today we have Dr. Jeffrey Brown joining us. Dr. Brown was born in the UK of Jamaican parents. He holds a PhD in religious education, specializing in family life education and counseling, and has previously served as a pastor, teacher, and administrator. He is currently a pastor of pastors and serves as an associate editor for Ministry Magazine. Welcome, Dr. Brown.
Thank you. It's a joy to be here.
Also joining us today is Dr. Richard Sabuan. Dr. Sabuan is originally from Indonesia. He has a PhD in New Testament from the Adventist International Institute of Advanced Studies in the Philippines, where he later also served as a seminary professor and dean. He is currently the Associate Director of Education for the World Headquarters of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Welcome, Dr. Sabuan.
Thank you so much, and greetings to you all. Thank you.
So today's verse is taken from Psalm 119, 114. It says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." If you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling attacked, remember this verse in Psalm 119, 114. God is a refuge. God is a hiding place. We can rest in him, and he will defend us. Remember that. Let's pray and invite the Spirit to be with us in this moment. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to talk and to share and to experience your word. Many of us have many different questions, and we just want to understand. I ask and pray that in this section, in this show, currently, that you would reveal yourself. Thank you for being our refuge, and thank you for being closer to us than anyone or anything. We love you, and help us to reflect that in our choices. You're welcome here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go ahead and turn to our first question that comes to us via text. It says, "My son was kidnapped off of our front yard when he was five. It's been 31 years now, and no, I didn't get him back. I know that God's grace is sufficient and made strongest in our weaknesses. My heart won't stop weeping for my little boy. I read scriptures out loud. I'm literally shut inside of my house. I don't know how to overcome this sorrow. Please pray for my peace of mind." Wow.
Wow.
I can only imagine the pain as a parent that I am myself. This is unimaginable pain, and we are praying for you as we go through this. And let's open up God's word. I want to start with you, Dr. Brown. How do we address this, what we can only imagine be unimaginable pain that our viewer has been going on for over 31 years? And of course, we're praying for her. I hope our viewers are praying for her. But where can we turn in the Bible?
Yes, certainly. I'm so pleased to hear that emphasis on prayer and support. And we don't give a pat answer from the Bible for this. Our reader spoke about overcoming, and that is wonderful, but it is also a case of enduring, because it is a pain that will last with that individual, perhaps even as long as they live. And so the Bible does give us counsel in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. It says to us there in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And that is saying to us that there is no harm, there's nothing wrong in Christians seeking out godly counsel. And God has gifted certain individuals through training to give counsel, to be with you along the journey. In other words, not to give a quick answer and leave you alone, but walk with you along that journey. You know, the Bible does give us a promise. It says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, something that you can hold on to when you feel that you are going to be overwhelmed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested even beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We encourage you to join a grief support group, but recognize that even when human beings are far away, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Dr. Brown, we want to thank you for pointing our viewer in that direction and seeing that this is a moment of enduring. And though we can't imagine this unimaginable pain, finding someone to walk with them as they go through this in that Christian council is so important. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown, for that. Dr. Sabuwan, I want to turn to you. Again, here we have a viewer who's going through something that we can't even imagine, the pain and the sorrow. And Dr. Brown pointed us to enduring. What else can we give advice for this?
Well, thank you so much. There is one or perhaps a couple of stories in the Bible that reflect the similar case as what has been shared with us. And that is the story of Jacob, who lost his son, Joseph. Mm. He didn't know where Joseph was for so many years. But the Bible always gave a very good ending of the story, that Jacob and Joseph were able to meet again. Mm. That is one story. Another story could be the parable of Jesus about a son who left house, although it was a different setting, but there was also a good ending. So living in this world, we realize that the end of everything is not the end of this world, because the end of everything is the new heaven and the new earth, and that will be a new beginning. And the Bible gives us a very good promise that we will meet our loved ones that are lost or who have passed away. And what we need to do is to be really faithful to the Lord until Jesus comes again. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Sabuwan. And just reminding us of that promise, you know, in Kose, yeah. I just love how we are reminded through this program that we will be reunited with those that we love. And I hope that this brings some sort of soothing, even though temporary, relief to our viewer, that Jesus promises he will be with us and we will see our loved ones again. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Sabuwan and Dr. Brown. What's our next question?
Yes, thank you so much for those answers. Our next question here says, where in the Bible does Jesus say no greater gift is this than a man lay down his life for a friend? What does it mean? Dr. Sabuwan, we're going to take this question and we're going to hand it to you. How can we understand what it means to lay down your life for a friend?
Thank you so much. I think there are two questions there. The first one is, where in the Bible? And it is found in John chapter 15, verse 13. I'm reading from my New International Version Bible. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." This is the words of Jesus. He was speaking to his 11 disciples. And in the following verses, he said that he is not calling them servants any longer, but he now calls them friends. The question is, do the disciples also at the time consider Jesus as their friend? Yes, Jesus considers them as his friend. But can we say that Peter, after saying, "I don't know him, I don't know him," he swore and he cursed. He says, "I don't know him." Can we say that Peter, when he was denying Jesus three times, can we say that Peter considered Jesus as his friend? Although Peter denied Jesus, but Jesus said, "You are my friend, and I will die for you." And there is no greater love than the love of a person that would die for his friend. Whether his friend would consider that one who would die for him a friend or not. So consider Thomas and all other disciples who just left Jesus. They ran away when Jesus was arrested. But Jesus would die for them. That is why there is another Bible text that we can read from Romans chapter 5. Verse 7 says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us." Yes, Peter was a sinner. All the disciples were sinners. We are sinners. And yet Jesus considers us as his friends. And he was willing to die for his friends. Although we are friends of different background, different attitude, we are sinners, and yet Jesus was willing to die for us. That is the meaning of that Bible text.
Thank you so much for that, Dr. Sibuen. Dr. Brown, what do you have to say for this question here? What does it mean to die for a friend?
Yes, well, Dr. Sibuen has been very comprehensive, I think, in his answer. There are three S's that I think are critical when we try to define what I call Christian love, because Jesus said to love one another as I have loved you, a new commandment. It's a special love. And those S's are sacrifice, submission, and service. And in the Bible, in John 13 and verse 35, Jesus says that he expects this of us. He says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." That's not just feelings of love. That is being prepared to offer sacrifice, to be submissive, and to be a servant of all. That is Christian love.
Wow. Thank you for that, Dr. Brown. You know, that's what it is, Christian love.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to set your life, to give your life for that person, to love that. So, and we have that great example by Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, because I've studied the Bible pretty much all my life. I've read the Bible, and even now I can say that I'm still learning stuff today. And that's why I just love this program, learning every time I'm on this. And I hope our viewers are learning as well. So if you want to keep studying more about the Bible, please check out our Bible study resource site at hope.study. There you can find numerous digital Bible studies or even request for free Bible study guides to be mailed to you. In North America, you can also call and leave us your address and we can get free Bible guides mailed straight to your home. So we're going to take a quick break right now, but we'll be right back. So don't go away.
Welcome back to Bible Help Desk. Don't forget, you can text us your questions or call us and leave us a voicemail at 833-BIBLE-HD. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and on our website at hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk.
Our panelists answering your questions today are Dr. Richard Sabuin and Dr. Jeffrey Brown. So in Koze, we've started well. What's our next question?
Yes, so we have a voicemail.
I don't have a lot of income. I mean, I'm on fixed income. But my question is about tithing. I'm from the Philippines, and I'm giving 10% of my income to the church that is now being built in the Philippines. I don't know if it is called a tithing or is that the right term, because I thought it's a tithe for me. So,
Interesting. We have a question about tithes. Dr. Brown, what do you have to say about this concern that she has?
Well, I think that it's just a wonderful thing that she wants to support the work of the church. She wants to give to what she considers to be her passion, the Lord's work. And so in the first instance, we want to commend her. She also has a burden to do what the Bible says that she ought to do. And so when we turn to the Bible, it says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, it gives us some clear counsel that just as we shouldn't rob the government of returning our taxes, so we ought not rob the Lord. And so in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Will a man or will a person rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." And so our writer, she has a right to have a burden and a concern that she's faithful both in tithes and offerings. And so our tithe is used for evangelistic outreach and nurturing ministries of the church. And that is when we give 10% of our income. But that is separate from offering. It is as if it were the tax is taken out and then you receive the rest of your salary. And now God is asking you to give a love offering. He's not necessarily specifying how much, but it says in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 17, it gives us a clue as to how we are to manage what we give to the Lord in offering. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 17 says, "Every man or every person shall give as he's able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you." And so just as God has given you breath in your body and he's given you stepping in your feet and joy in your heart, you give to the Lord according as how you feel God has blessed you. And that money that you give will help to build the church. That money that you give will help the children's ministries or the youth ministries or the media ministries or the education ministries of the church. Those are fueled by our love offerings. So if we want to be faithful, let us return to the Lord our faithful tithe and our joyful free will offering.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that answer, Dr. Brown. Ruben, I'm thinking about sometimes when you want to give, your heart is bigger than your bank account. Have you ever experienced
yes,
that before?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for your faithfulness as you give, and may God continue to bless you as you give for his kingdom and to his kingdom. What's our next question, Ruben?
Absolutely. We have a question that came to us via text from Bell, and it says, "I own a small business. It's a corporation. I started to pay my tithe out of my check. My question is my company expected to pay tithe too? I just took over this company. It has bills that are waiting to be paid. I'm just curious to know what is our stand as a Bible believer." Well, because it seems we have another question about tithe
right. And
offerings. So I want to turn again to you, Dr. Brown. Here we have a little different scenario. Someone who just has a company, they give tithe from their
their check that they get, their salary, is the company as well. What does the Bible say? Does the company to also give tithe?
Well, Brother Reuben, I think it is a wonderful thing that persons have a passion to do what is right. And we commend them that they are returning tithe, and many pay their tithe and offering from the salary that they receive, even though it is their own company. And they pay that salary, forgive me, they pay that tithe and that offering. But then at the end of the year, as they assess profit and loss, and they see perhaps that God has blessed their company with a profit, then they return a faithful tithe and love offering on the income that is derived from or by the business. And so there's the personal income from the check that they may receive either bi-weekly or monthly. But then at the end of the year, when they assess their profits or losses, then they return tithe for the company and also a love or free will offering.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. You know, and Cozy, as we keep talking about the tithe and the offering, what I hear is this blessing that we get from God and just being able to see how he has blessed us at the end. You know, we talked about the corporation and how they compare their losses with profit. And when we see profit as this blessing from God, this joy comes that we want to give.
Yeah.
So I hope that our viewer can see that there's joy in giving to God. Our next question?
Is joy in giving to God. So speaking about money, we have a question from Maria. And it says, what does the Bible say about the coin in Luke 15? So Dr. Brown, we're just going to jump into this question. What does Luke 15 say about the coin?
Well, Luke 15 and verses 1 and 2, they speak about the fact that Jesus fellowshipped with sinners. Jesus fellowshipped with sinners. And of course, we are all sinners. But the Bible says that the coin was lost in the house. And the thing that is emphasized is not so much the lostness of the coin, but the joy of the coin being found. If we look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, the Bible talks about the joy that even reverberates around heaven. Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, and the Bible says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Some individuals speak about the fact that the coin was lost in the house, letting us know that we can be going to church, appearing to be a faithful believer, and still be lost in the house.
Wow.
But the joy is that the lost can be found.
Amen.
And sometimes when sinners come into the church, righteous people or so-called righteous people are not too happy. Maybe they don't smell just like I want them to smell. Maybe their breath has some alcohol or some tobacco on it. But Jesus loved to fellowship with the sinners. The Pharisees accused him. They said, well, this man eats with sinners. And Jesus said, guilty, guilty. And heaven is a place for redeemed sinners. And so God is joyful. Heaven rejoices when coins, when sons and daughters of God, when sheep that were lost come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us rejoice and be glad, even as heaven rejoices.
Yes, and Dr. Brown, Dr. Sibuan, thank you so much for guiding us through these questions to those answers from the Bible. I know our viewers truly appreciate it. And we want to thank you, the viewer, as well,
for sending in those questions. And don't forget to also check out our website and our YouTube account for video on-demand questions and answers from Bible Help Desk. And as always, you can send in your questions by texting us or calling and leaving a voicemail or messaging us on Facebook or Instagram pages.
Thanks again for watching, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye-bye.